going to read out of Acts 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, we're all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divine tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, as they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And suddenly, how much of God's words, and suddenly, how much of our journey with God is, and suddenly. Can you imagine being one of the disciples following Jesus as he's walking about Israel? 3.5 years of the most off the chart ministry the world had ever seen.
Come on. Yeah.
What kind of things did they see? We know some of it because it's in the Word. Imagine walking into a community. I mean, you've done this not so long ago, where maybe hundreds of people in the community were sick. There's blind people, lame people, people who needed healing. And when you walked into these places with Jesus, every single person in the community was healed.
Yeah, come on.
Every person was healed. These people were going along with their lives. Blind, deaf, lame, all kinds of sickness. They might have heard of Jesus, but they probably never encountered him. They didn't really know what was possible. Mm-hmm. And then, suddenly, Jesus came to town. Imagine having been blind from birth and not been able to walk. And then this man comes and touches you and puts mud in your eyes. And suddenly, you can see. Limbs grow out where there hadn't been any. Diseases like cancer, although they wouldn't have called it that because that name didn't exist, was totally healed.
Yes.
Gone. Like it never existed. Suddenly, all because Jesus showed up, suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind and everything changed. Now imagine being one of the disciples in the upper room. By this time, Jesus had been crucified. Even that seemed to happen suddenly. Imagine the shock of it all. Traveling, ministering, healing, and then suddenly the soldiers showed up one night and arrested Jesus. Within a few hours, Jesus is arrested, tried, and murdered. The disciples are in total shock. How could this even happen? Everything seemed to be coming to a screaming halt. Even the resurrection had to seem suddenly. They saw him die on a cross in the most horrible way to die anyone can imagine. Nails in the hands and his feet. A spear driven into his side. How could anyone not be fully, completely dead? But then, suddenly, 3 days later, Mary came rushing in to tell him that the grave was empty. It's empty. He had done it. He had risen. Then he appeared to the disciples on the road. He even cooked them breakfast one day. And it all seemed to be on the path of being put right again. One day in a room above the street in Jerusalem, the disciples had gathered to celebrate the feast of the Pentecost. Suddenly, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind and everything changed. Mm-hmm. Have any of you experienced a suddenly of God? An unexpected healing, maybe. Maybe a check in the post. Woohoo! Amen, Lord. Send us all one. Or even going along with life and not really looking for anything, and boom, God shows up suddenly. All throughout Scripture, God seems to show up quite suddenly. Whether it's an angel appearing, or a city wall falling down, or the long-awaited Messiah suddenly showing up on the scene. God seems to regularly break into our lives, seemingly without warning. But how suddenly is it really? God often seems to move quickly, and to our experience it can seem very suddenly. But he always moves right on time. And if we look even more closely, we'll see that it's never as suddenly as it seems to us. Take the outpouring of the Spirit in the upper room. Jesus had actually promised that very thing earlier in Acts. In Acts 1:48. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at that time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his authority. But you shall receive power from when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Wow. And even earlier than that, in John 14:16-18, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." He had already promised that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. What happened in Acts 2 was simply a fulfillment of his promises. The Holy Spirit fell suddenly, but yet right on time. They had gathered in the upper room to observe the Feast of Pentecost, which is a celebration of God's gift to Moses of the Ten Commandments. 50 days after Passover Sabbath, which was exactly 3 days after Jesus, the Lamb of God, had been crucified, the Holy Spirit fell suddenly, but yet right on time. Even Jesus' ministry, while he here on earth, although it seemed out of the ordinary and very suddenly, was a fulfillment of hundreds of promises throughout Scripture. Isaiah 61 describes who Jesus would be and what he would do. Isaiah 53 describes his death, and many texts describe what his death would provide for us, even as far back as Genesis 3. God had a plan in mind. He knew exactly what he would do, and he even knew that it would seem suddenly to us. There are more suddenlies right around the corner that God has been preparing for a long time for us. Are they really what they seem to us? Random things that happen when God randomly decides to do them? And if they're not random, how can we see more of them? There's a couple of secrets to experience God's suddenlies. Of course, there's only things that God can do. Amen? Only God could send Jesus. Only God could raise him from the dead. Only God through Jesus could send his Holy Spirit. And only God could blast a group of people in the upper room with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But there's a part that we can play. A love affair with Jesus is not meant to be master-slave. Although he is absolutely our master. But more than that, God desires our partnership. We are more than slaves. We are more than sons and daughters. We are more than friends. God wants us to be colleagues, co-workers, alongside him to see his kingdom brought to earth. Preparing for the suddenlies of God is exactly that. The book of James says that we have not because we ask not. So ask. Ask God. I see the way you're pouring out your Holy Spirit in Acts. Would you move that way in our city? Ask. The second way is seeing God move is to set your expectations. Mm. What do you expect God to do?
Yeah.
Mm. When you came here today, what did you expect God to do? Many people out there don't see healings. They don't see miracles. And do you know why? Because they don't expect to see these things. As Christians ask for them, not really believing that God will do them. But what if you actually expected to see God move? What if we expected him to do the things we see in the scripture? Years ago, as a young Christian, I had read and heard about people like Catherine Coleman Ministries and John Wimber and an awful lot of other people. I've been reading about them. They and other mighty men and women of God experienced a powerful touch from God and loads of signs and wonders. And I was hungry for that. I wanted the more. I wanted to do what the Word of God says that I could do what Jesus did and more. I'm pursuing the more. I'm hungry for the more. I expect to be living out in the more. And Val and I were had a church in a pub on a Thursday night. It was called Biker Church. And I was hungry for the more. And we came to Southampton and Randy Clark was taking a conference. And I heard something that changed my heart and my mind. I didn't have to experience the Holy Spirit to see people healed. I could stand on the word and declare, you are healed. And we came home from that conference, and every meeting we had, people were healed, because I was expecting. I was pregnant with the things of God. I was expecting people to be healed. I was expecting people to get saved. I was expecting God to move in our midst. I was hungry for it. I expected it. I declared it, and I lived it, and are living it. We had 58 people saved in 3 months by just loving people. I never led anybody of them 58 to the Lord with a prayer. That sounds weird, doesn't it? They encountered Jesus and gave their life over. They encountered Jesus. We had a meeting one day, and I asked, think back, how quick did you ask Jesus into your heart from you came to us? And one guy was 15 minutes into the first meeting he'd ever been at. He was the quickest. It's not about me. Yeah. It's all about him. Yeah. It's all about his presence. You know? Yeah. They met with Jesus in a powerful way, and their lives were transformed. Yeah. All walks of life. We had the ones the church spat out. It was awesome. We were mum and dad for so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, we have a big adoption program. The only thing I say, no pocket money, no back dating. You know, if you want to see God move, you have to expect that he will.
Yeah.
Yeah. God is always up to something.
Yeah.
Anybody believe that?
Yes.
I do. It's up to us to choose to look for it. How do we know what to expect? If you haven't seen a powerful move of God before, just go back to the scripture. I know you all have, because you all come here. This is a mighty place. Part of the reason God gives us the written word is so that we could have a picture of what he wants to do on this earth. The book of Acts is a great place to start if you want to know what to expect when you ask God to move mightily. Get excited. Setting expectations might actually be called building up our own faith. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing. It comes by seeing too. Once you've seen God open deaf ears, you can never undo that. Once you've seen God grow a limb that wasn't there before, you can't pretend you didn't know it's possible. I believe that one of the reasons God wants us to hang around anointed people is so that we could see what he wants to do through us. Jesus is calling us to a different kind of faith. Matthew 18 verse 3. Jesus says, "As surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." What does he mean? Is he asking us to not be mature? Of course not. What Jesus is actually saying is that childlike faith is maturity. Innocent, simple faith that believes what God says is real and then expects him to do it. The mark of a mature believer is not complicated doctrine or fancy arguments. How do we build faith like that? First of all, we have to repent of thinking we know it all. We have to decide that God is God and we are not. And if he wants to wreck a room full of people on a Wednesday night, he can do it.
Come on.
If he wants to grow a toe, he can do it. If he wants to make 120 people look like they're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, he can do it. We have to repent of the idea that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He can be gentle, and usually is. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:23. But not always. It was God's power that blinded the Apostle Paul and silenced the father of John the Baptist. Then, of course, there was Ananias and Sapphira. For years, I read the account of Acts 2 with the idea that when the Holy Spirit fell on them, it was nice and gentle. And the Spirit came like a nice sweet breeze. The next thing we know, people are speaking in strange languages and acting like they're drunk on the street. I think it was more like a bomb went off and a hurricane blew through the room. The God of the universe swelled in there. Flames of fire was blazing on their heads, and the whole room was overpowered by the invasion of heaven.
Come on,
yeah.
That's what I read.
Yeah.
That's what I encounter. That's what I feel, and that's what I'm wanting to live out. The whole city was in uproar. 120 people were roaming the streets of their city, acting like they were drunk and uneducated, but miraculously speaking in native languages of many visitors.
Yeah,
the wonderful work of God. Would it be a nice, calm picture, or would it be chaos and mayhem? I'm up for the chaos and mayhem. We need to set our expectations by what Scripture shows us, not the other way around. We need to set our expectations about what Scripture shows us, not the other way around.
Yeah.
We need to repent of demanding what God will and won't do based on what we already experienced and understood.
Yeah.
None of the people in the upper room had ever experienced anything like this, but God did it anyway. So we need to expect God to show up and expect that he will do things his way.
Yes.
He's much better doing ministry than we are anyway.
Thank you.
It's better to just let him have his way. I believe the final key to experience God suddenly is to wait on him. In Luke 24:49, Jesus tells the disciples to tarry. Many times we think of waiting as passive, like I'm just going to sit here until God moves on me. Very Quakerish. Anybody in a Quaker service before?
Yes.
I have. The Spirit doesn't move, they do nothing. They come back the next week, the Spirit moves. It's amazing. But anyway, that's another story. Oh, we're getting there. I'm just trying to. I don't normally read notes. I don't normally write. God doesn't normally let me share the notes he has me writing. So this is a first for me. Nobody's ever heard this before. From me, anyway. I don't think the disciples in the upper room were being passive. They knew what he had told them, what he would do. Even if they didn't know what it would look like, they put themselves in a position to see that happen. They gathered together expecting. I really think that the day they gathered in the upper room was not the first time they'd gathered together. They actively chose to put themselves in a position to receive what Jesus said they would receive. Are you hearing that? They did the part they could do and waited for God to do what he could do. If God has promised you that he will move in this church or in your life or in your city, he will. You can count on that. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when.
Yes.
When you don't know when, so why not make room for it to happen all the time? Expect it to happen. Ask him to come. Expect him to come. And then wait for him to do what he said he would do. Suddenly. Let's pray. God, I repent of thinking that I know what to do and how you want to do things. I'm sorry that I've put myself in your place. I know that you've made promises to us, to show us. I want to tell you how to do that, Lord. Would you show me how and when to position myself to see more of you? I choose to not make my experience or lack thereof my standard. I will read scripture, I will listen to others, and I will go where you are moving, God. Move in my life and the life of this church. Move in our nation and move in our world, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Amen.